Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey, City Church, welcome to More Than That. I'm just super thankful to be sitting here after a much-needed vacation. I haven't heard the stories yet, but I'm looking forward to hearing how it was. And we don't have to get into it now, but I'm sitting here with Larry Stout. And so he was preaching on prayer and why do we pray? And you hit on the seven C's of prayer. So, Larry, remind us, what are the seven C's? And if you had more time to spend on one of those C's, which C would you have spent more time on, and what would you have said?
Well, real quickly, I believe it is hard to talk on prayer in just one message, but I emphasized four practices, which were that prayer is a core discipline. Mm-hmm. It's essential. It's also a corporate, designed to be a corporate discipline. We think mm-hmm. of prayer sort of as individual, but yeah. Most of the Bible talks about corporate prayer. Our Father, mm-hmm. you know, wherever two or more are gathered together, et cetera.
Yeah.
It should be a consistent discipline. We often, you know, prayer is not just a one-off. It's meant to be part of your spiritual formation. Mm-hmm. But the one that I really want to park on would be correct discipline. But okay. I'll go back to it because the other three C's have to do with, as a result of that, you would have a changed life.
After correct discipline.
After,
correct.
Okay. After you do those four, you will find that there will be a changed life, mm-hmm. A charged life. And that by that, I mean you're committed now. You would find yourself in different roles of service. And we see examples mm-hmm. of that in the book of Acts. And that,
yeah.
Even the replacement for Judas was with, mm-hmm. with prayer. The mm-hmm. elders and apostles, pastors, et cetera, were all initiated by prayer. And then ultimately then it comes to a comforting life, not a comfortable life, but one that
yeah.
we find a comforter, the Holy Spirit with us, and are able to deal with life that it throws at us. Mm-hmm. But particularly what I would love to almost take a whole message is on the way we understand what happens in prayer. Mm. You know, I found it really, I think all my Christian life I've been fascinated with prayer. It just is one of those things that it's essential, obviously, but there's so many different ways people pray.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of bothered me a little bit. Like, so what is, if you will, the right way to pray? And so looking through the Bible, I began to notice one of the things is that the word prayer is not as used as often as cry out. The idea that prayer is like really literally crying out to God. I have a need. I have a concern. I mm-hmm. have a problem. I'm bringing this to you, and it's not just it's a heartfelt thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do have a
just like that, just like that.
We do have a guest with us today. I did forget to mention that Arwen's with Larry and I, so she's probably going to chime in,
responding to everything, and I appreciate that. But here's the thing that really struck me is that I never could find an example in the scriptures of an unanswered prayer.
Mm.
You never read that. What you find is prayers that God does not hear. Now that struck me. It's not like, of course, God hears. I mean, he knows what you're saying, he knows
yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
But the idea that I'm not going to acknowledge that prayer. That prayer is mm-hmm. It's not really directed to me. You're praying to yourself, and I use the example mm-hmm. of the Pharisee that goes in and starts bragging on himself, and he thinks he's praying, but mm-hmm. he's praying to himself. I said he prays to himself about himself. You find it, you don't get people that pray, you know, with pride. They pray with just simply their own interest involved. They're not really thinking of the gospel, so to speak. Not praying in faith. Lord, I don't know if you can do this or not. I mean, they don't quite say it that way, but it's sort of the idea. When you sincerely, honestly have a relationship with your Savior, Lord Jesus, and you are crying out, He hears that prayer. And what you find in Scripture is that every prayer He hears, He answers. Now, how He answers could be very, very different than what you expect. And that to me, my wife and I just, you know, got back from a vacation. We had a really great time together, more just having time for each other. And we went back, I mean, we've been together, I mean, been married almost 50 years, and we dated for 5 years before that. So we go back to our teens.
Congratulations on that.
Yes.
Because that's a long time.
But we talked about stuff even in our teenage years that we remembered and were kind of, you know, just learning about each other even more. And it struck me how things that at the time seemed bad, it seemed like this wasn't going right, because of that, other things happened that turned out to be spiritually formating for us. So I just thought, wow, as I look back, I don't know if I'd change anything. Even a bankruptcy was actually a good thing, you know, which you don't think that way when you're in it. Believe me, it's not happy. It's not good. It's, But out of that came, and I often said, I learned more from my bankruptcy than I did from my MBA. So I think what you find now is that prayer is the key element, if not the key element, but you certainly have to know Scripture. You certainly should be doing, being in community, all these things. Is that prayer is an essential, let's just put that, an essential, that's, and that's my point, first point, it's a core discipline. And just because, you know, the Lord doesn't, He doesn't give you a pattern. Well, the Lord's Prayer is sort of the model, but a lot of people don't think they pray well enough, or they don't do it. I mean, just empty your heart to the Lord. Just give yourself. He hears your cries. So it isn't as much what you're praying as much as the heart intent of what you're giving to Him. And here's the thing. You need to continue to pray. That was another C, I think, in consistency. In the fact that when you don't get is seemingly an answer, you should keep praying for it. And to me, Spurgeon is a classic example of this. So there's three teenage friends. He became a Christian as a teenager. He had three guys that he was real close to. None of them became Christians. He prayed for them his entire life. Two became Christians shortly before he died, and one gave his life to Christ after his at his funeral. I mean, it just finally convicted him. So, you know, we don't, I would have given up if I were Spurgeon. You know, I would have bailed a long time before that. But Spurgeon believed also that God hears prayer, and he just continued to pray. And so that should be our hope. And that's why you can't go wrong on prayer. You just pray, and best of all, pray the Scriptures, pray the promises, pray His Word, and then you know that He's hearing because that's His Word. And with your faith, you're trusting Him, and out of that, we become more closer to Christ.
When it comes to hearing, the whole hearing and acknowledging, and the way I like to make a distinction is hearing versus listening. Because, like, I mean, you walk outside. I mean, you take a trip down out our like front doors, and you walk. Take a left and just go down 4th Street. You're hearing everything that's going on, but you're only able to listen to or acknowledge on something that you're focusing on.
That's right.
So, I mean, like, when I think about, you know, who does God... Oh, thank you for the interruption. When, like, who does God focus on? He loves all of us.
Amen. Amen.
But his prized possession is his family. Those that are praying within, we're doing the Lord's Prayer, praying within that framework, he's listening. He's not just hearing your prayer, he's listening. He's acknowledging that you're doing it in a way that that's in accordance with him. And there's that conform, or maybe another C we could add is conformity. We're conforming our lives to
Amen.
Prayer. That's helps good. Conform our lives. I know that takes us away from the magical, the biblical number of seven, but you know. and I think, you know, to kind of comment on, like, those negative things that happened in you and Debbie's life that ended up spurring on prayer and causing you to come closer. Like, we were off camera or off recording, we were talking about how being a dad changes you.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes it's not a fun change, but sometimes it's a really good change because you have something and someone else that you're focusing on, and that's what makes you better.
And let me tell a story. Just occurred to me while you were talking. Now, this goes back a number of years. I was a young pastor, and a couple came into my office, and it was early evening, and they said that we're going to have a divorce. We're going to get a divorce. And if you don't give us some reason not to, Larry, we're going to leave. Well, I mean, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, this is very sad, but let me ask you, as you've been praying about this, what has come to you? And they said, well, we don't pray together.
Mm.
I said, really? So let me get this straight. You don't talk to God about your problem, but now you come to me, and I'm supposed to come up with an answer that's going to stop you from getting a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how about this? I got an idea. I said, it's kind of like dinner time. I'm going to go across the street to Pizza Hut. I'm going to get myself something to eat. I said, I'm going to lock the door, and you can't get out from the inside, and your guys are going to stay here and pray together, and then I'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought I was joking, but I did not. I got up, locked the door.
That's awesome.
And even locked the front door. Mm-hmm. I locked my office door. I locked the church door. Went across the street. Had a very nice, quiet, uninterrupted time eating my pizza. And I came back. And when I left, they were burning mad. They were like, he can't do that. Why? And so they're just angry at me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they looked at each other. Well, we could just sit here and be quiet, or we could pray. So they decided to pray together.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the first parts of their prayer was tell this jerk to get his head together. But as they realized I wasn't coming back right away, so they kept praying, and slowly it sort of just hit them. The Holy Spirit kind of showed up. And by the time I came back, tears are running down their faces, and they said, you know, Larry, I think we're just going to put this on hold. And they're together to this day. So, I wouldn't use that as a model, but it just shows you have no idea the power of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope that if you're struggling in that, don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
Just dive in the water. It might be cold at first, but you'll get warmed up.
Yeah. And I think one of the big things getting into a habit of prayer, because it's a habit for sure, is just being consistent. Like one of those C's.
Mm-hmm.
Consistency. So as somebody who is fascinated with prayer, what is one way that you would suggest somebody who's struggling with prayer to start that habit?
Well, fortunately, if you go to City Church, we have prayer books, kind of little pamphlets that I call prayer starters. Mm. I mean, at least it gives you something to work with. Prayer just is a matter of practice, but I think my opinion is that the best prayers really are the ones that are in Scripture, and the Lord's Prayer is just the greatest place to start. If you just pray the Lord's Prayer and after Our Father, just stop and think about that, mm-hmm. and say, I thank you that you are my Father, and that I hold up your name and all that that means. I mean, you can just take the prayer and just expand it as you're acknowledging each part. Mm-hmm. There's just so many different mm-hmm. prayers in the Bible. This morning, actually, I gave my wife Anna's prayer that in 1 Samuel 1. Mm-hmm. I wrote it out for her and had it when she was coming down for, because last night she was praying about her children and some concerns, and mm-hmm. they're all grown now, but
yeah.
And I just showed her, you know, God hears the cries of a mother, mm-hmm. and that really encouraged her. She was just really, you know, blessed by it. Scripture, I think, is the best prayer program you can find.
Okay, so outside of Scripture, mm-hmm. and I was gonna say, like, outside of the books that we have out in our bookstore, but you can include those too. What is your number one recommendation for a book on prayer? If you were to anybody from a PhD in biblical studies, specifically on Athanasius, from somebody like that to somebody like, we'll just pick Arwen, for instance, when she learns how to read and can actually read this book, what, like, is there one book that you would recommend for anybody at any stage in their life and Christian walk?
You've asked an impossible question, I think. I mean, at first, when you first started, I'm thinking Valley of Vision. That's okay. just a really, it's the problem, though, mm-hmm. is the language. Mm-hmm. You know, people stumble a bit because it's old. But, I mm-hmm. mean, those prayers are so beautiful. They are just, and I'll be honest, I get all excited when I hear somebody pray a really beautiful prayer. I enjoy it as much as a good sermon. Mm. I find that inspires me. But other than, I'm trying to think of any other really good prayer book. There's so many of them. Mm.
What's the one that you've read the most other than Valley of Vision?
That is the one I've read the most. I'm trying to think of another. Ian Duguid is Duguid. He is a Westminster seminary professor.
Yeah.
He has several books on prayer that mm-hmm. are really, and actually Barbara, his wife, mm-hmm. I think even is better. Her stuff is mm-hmm. really, really good. And Barbara her story is absolutely amazing, and prayer saved her life because she was very obese, you know, got all this, eating disorder,
mm-hmm.
just was self-loathing and just really going through a tough time, and discovered John Newton's writings that really helped turn her around, and she did some devotion books that I just think are fantastic. I've really read. So both mm-hmm. Duguids to me, the wife and husband.
Yeah.
And that's just off the top of my head. I would have prepared better if I was asked that question, but that just comes to me.
Sometimes the best, because, like, out of all of the books that, well, I've seen part of your library, on the fourth floor and then at your house, mm-hmm. And I know sometimes it's, if you get a heads up, it's like, what do I pick? And you have all of these options to choose from.
You actually weren't in my office. That's where all the prayer books
This is
are.
True, yeah.
you saw the extra books, you know. They didn't have room for my office. So, yeah.
But But yeah, so that's one of the reasons why I think that spur of the moment question for like what's a good recommendation for it, because sometimes that for the first one that comes up, it might actually be the best one because it's what you initially think of when you think a book on prayer. So, but I mean, like, you know, with Valley of Vision, like, I'm not used to Puritan writing. You gave me the bruised read last year, and I think I had to reread almost every sentence. But as you reread, it's just like reading the Bible. Unless you're reading a very, very modern version, like, I think the NIV is one of the more readable versions. But if you're reading and you're like me and you like, you're a glutton for punishment, you read the NASB, the New American Standard, which is a very, almost as word for word as you can get. You're rereading sentence after
awkward.
Sentence.
It's a bit awkward, structure,
But when you think about it, what is that doing? You're rehearsing, you're meditating on the words that somebody else wrote, and that's a good habit to get into for when you read the Bible as well.
Well, see, I'm so old. My children's Bible that I got at age 6 was a King James Bible. And as I began to learn to read, I was excited that I could read now my Bible. And it was, you know, extremely difficult, the language. But I felt like I was really reading God's Word because it was so different than anything else. So it actually elevated it to me that I was really reading a holy Bible. And so there's an upside even to struggling a little bit with language.
And, you know, the Valley of Vision, like I said, I haven't read it, but it's one of those books where I've heard so many people talk about it. And, you know, it's...
Well, you'll find in Valley of Vision certain ones that just resonate with you. I mean, I don't like every single prayer in there, but some, I mean, I even cut out or put, you know, like... Every morning I would read it because it just so inspired me. So that's I mean, you find all of us are in different places at different times. And and that's the great thing about as you expand your understanding of prayer, you find that some prayers, you know, speak to you more than others. And, but, you know, basically it all comes back, just to summarize, I would say, is what God will hear is your heart. So you don't need to necessarily get all, you know, worried so much about the wording. But the wording is what helps build your heart. It's what gets you more believing in what you're praying for. So that's why I find those inspiring. But, I mean, sometimes I remember a guy who became a Christian that I knew whose prayers to receive Christ was, God help me. That was his prayer. That was his entire prayer. And he knew that the Lord changed him at that moment. So it really is just your heart.
I think that's a good place to end, because if that's where you're at and all you can have, all you can muster up is, God help me, that's a wonderful place to start, because you're relying on God. So, Larry, thank you. Thank you for the conversation. Thank you for the sermon. And I'm glad you got some rest in and on your vacation. So for those of you that are listening and are in Williamsport, this is not a replacement for being involved in a local church, or it's not even a replacement for the Sunday sermon. It's more of, this is more of a supplement, a vitamin. So if you're not... a part of a church here in Williamsport, we would love to meet you and see how we can get you plugged in and serving, and start that habit of prayer. So Larry, again, thank you, and we'll see you guys next week.
God bless.
God bless.